Are you ready?
Yeah.
You're open.
So, want me to go ahead? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good evening. I have to say it is really a blessing for me to be here, particularly in the circumstances that the Lord has brought about in these past few months, and just to be able to be here just as a reflection on the Lord's goodness to us, and it's just been such a blessing just to have the time here and have the fellowship that we've had. It's just an encouragement to my heart. And I've said more than once, I wish Robin could have been here. I know it really would have been a blessing to her. But anyway, tonight I'd like us to turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And the reason I've chosen this passage of Scripture is because it was a passage that the Lord particularly used to teach me during this time in these last few months, to teach me, to encourage me, to bless me, and Robin also. And I trust that some of what the Lord has blessed us with, I might be able to do the same for you. If not now, but for a time in the future. And so look there in Isaiah 43. And when I began to prepare this message, which by God's grace will be a series of messages tonight and tomorrow morning for two messages, when I first began to prepare it, I titled it, When We Pass Through the Waters. And I normally don't title messages. I typically reference Scripture. And this, of course, is taken from verse 2 of this chapter 43. But as I began to prepare it, I realized that subtly undermined the focus that I wanted to have. And the reason I say that is it's not the circumstances of our lives or you and I that matter. It's only the Lord that matters. And so what I chose to title this message with is what follows: I will be with you, because that's all that matters. And it's something that we all understand, we know, but how quickly we are in forgetting that truth. The only person that matters is the Lord. And in times of difficulty, when we pass through the waters, the only thing that matters is what he says here: I will be with you. Every rich blessing and promise flows from this source, this wonderful source, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Where in the Psalms, the psalmist cries, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord and all that he's accomplished for his people is all that matters. And in this chapter here of Isaiah, we see how powerfully and insistently the word of the Lord comes to Isaiah and emphasizes this truth, that he's the only one that matters. Now, just consider now as we read through some of these verses, we're not going to cover this whole chapter, but we're going to cover, Lord willing, portions of it. So just read with me, beginning in verse 1, and notice the emphasis on who is the person highlighted, who is the person acting in everything that is being discussed. Just consider that as we read through this, and then we'll begin to look through it. But verse 1, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." And jump down now to verse 10. "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed, and there is no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it?" Then verse 16. "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not arise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise." Well, how could you miss it? This is God, the Holy One of Israel, speaking. And he says, "I will do. I will be with you. I have redeemed you. I am the Lord your God. I am your Savior. I have loved you. I have formed you. I have chosen you. I, even I, am the Lord." And one of the richest blessings we have as the people of the Lord is the communion we have with God. In times of deep distress, he brings us by his grace to a place where everything in life recedes. When you pass through the waters, he does that. He does that for you. All these things that so dominate our lives, our thoughts, our cares, our concerns, our joys even in this life, they all just recede away. And the only thing that's before your eyes is your Lord and your Savior. He makes his presence known to us in these times. That's what he means when he says, "I will be with you." And his word becomes so rich and so precious when he speaks to us. There's nothing that compares, nothing. It seemed during this time that wherever I opened the word, then the Lord spoke to me. It's something you wish could always be. You truly do. He speaks to you and he comforts your heart and he guides you in the way that you should go. When we pass through the waters, the Lord is with us and he speaks to us by his word. He does. We know that. He's our help, not anyone else. You know how it is, don't you? When we're in trouble, we start looking for help. And if you're like me, we generally start looking in all the wrong places. He's our only help. When we pass through the waters, when we don't pass through the waters, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, he alone is our help. He's the source of all help, all true help to us. And how important it is for you and I to understand that. Let me give you an illustration of how the Lord speaks to us through his word. At least 10 years ago, I would say, I preached a sermon from Psalm 42 to a church. And in that psalm, many of you no doubt know, in that psalm we find a man who is in great spiritual distress. He's fearful, perplexed, in sorrow, feeling as if the waves and billows have gone over his head. He feels that he's been forgotten of God. And he cries out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Where is help to be found? Well, in that psalm, the Lord leads him to the only help that matters. And he himself is given the answer when he cries, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And as I preached from that psalm, I had no idea that there were three families in this church who had lost a child in the preceding few years. Two in very, very tragic circumstances. And, you know, preaching from that passage, Psalm 42, I have to say, I knew little about what it was really speaking about. I didn't know it at the time, but I didn't. But the Lord greatly blessed the word that was preached. Why? Because the Lord had a message for his people. It was his word and his message, and he was speaking to their souls, binding up the brokenhearted, comforting his people to give them, as Jeremiah says, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I was just the instrument through whom God spoke to his people. And that's always the way it is. That's always the way it is. As God speaks to his people. Who is the counselor of the people of God? Think about that. You know, there is so much today about Christian counseling and people in all of their great needs and all of their great distresses needing counsel. Well, who is our counselor? Who is our counselor? Isaiah 9 begins in this way. Listen. "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed." And why is that? What's the reason given? "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is our counselor, the counselor of his people. And when we're in these times that Isaiah the prophet is speaking about, when we pass through the waters, he's the one that is with us. And he's the one that counsels us. He's the one that speaks to us and gives us all the words, all the truth, all the comfort, all the help we need as we pass through those waters. He's our help and he's our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ will counsel the souls of his beloved, and he'll speak to us as only he can. It seems in these times of deep distress that wherever you open his word, I know all of you have experienced this, wherever you open his word, he speaks to you. His word just is so precious, so pure. He makes you lie down in the green pastures of his glorious gospel. He leads you beside the still waters of his mercy and his grace, and he restores your soul. He does. And I pray, as we consider the words of the prophet Isaiah, that the Lord will speak to us tonight and tomorrow, as only he can speak to us. Well, I've broken up these messages. Let me just give you the points that I hope to bring out. What I'd like us to see is, one, we will pass through the waters. It doesn't say if you pass through the waters. It says when you pass through the waters. So that's the first point I want us to consider. The Lord's people will pass through the waters. Secondly, I want us to see the promise we have when we pass through the waters, and that is, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. What a promise. Thirdly, what's the reason given for the promise? Look there in verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's the reason. That's the reason for the promise, because he's our Savior. Then fourthly, the foundation for the promise, we have that in verse 1. He says, but now, says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. That's the foundation of the promise. He's redeemed his people, this glorious Savior. Then fifthly, well, how certain is this promise? Well, it's as certain as the one who makes it. And who is that? Well, he says in verse 11, I am the Lord. The promise is certain. The fulfillment of the promise is certain. So those are the 5 points in these next 3 messages that I'd like to bring before you, and trust that the Lord would bless these things. So let's consider the first then. When we read, when you pass through the waters, we, as I said, this is, in a sense, a promise of the Lord to his people. We will pass through the waters. But when we do pass through the waters, he'll be with us. We know this from the Word of God. We know it from experience, that we will pass through the waters, we'll pass through these fires of this life, but the promise isn't that we'll be kept from those. See, so many people believe this. They surely do. They believe, well, if I give my life to the Lord, well, I won't face difficulty. I won't face trials. Everything will be wonderful. But how false a picture of the Christian life that is. Isn't that so? here we're told, when you pass through the waters, and we will, the promise isn't that we'll be kept from passing through the waters. The promise is that he'll be with us when we do. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Now, if you're like me, Lamentations is probably not a book that you spent a lot of time in. But I did in these last few months. And what a blessing. What rich blessing is found in this book of tears, book of sorrows, book of afflictions, as Jeremiah laments the state of the Lord's people, the people Israel. We'll certainly, in this time, in this life, face times of great discouragement. I know all of you have. All of you have. And in a lot of ways, I'm sure you could come up and do a more effective job than I can of speaking about the things that we find here in the Lord's Word. But Jeremiah faced a time like this, a time of great sorrow and discouragement. And he lamented. We often find ourselves, as we're passing through the waters, tossed by the waves of affliction, weighed down with grief and pain, with the winds of life just blowing contrary to everything that we do. And the storm just doesn't seem to end, does it? It rages unabated the whole night. And we become exhausted with anxiety and fear. Well, when this time comes, we know something of the experience of Jeremiah when he cries here in this passage, "My strength and my hope have perished from the Lord." Well, how is it that Jeremiah was brought to this place? Well, look in verse 20 of chapter 2 first, and just to get a sense of the terrible destruction that had been brought upon Jerusalem and upon the people of Israel. And here in verse 20 of chapter 2, he says, "See, O Lord, and consider, to whom have you done this? Should the women eat their offspring? So great was the famine that this was..." We can't even comprehend it, can we? "The children they have cuddled, should the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgin and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the days of your anger. You have slaughtered and not pitied." And Jeremiah, as it were, looks around at this utter destruction, the affliction that had come upon the people of Israel. And he cries out in chapter 3 in deep anguish. And he says, "I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of your wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe." Look in verse 8. "Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate." Down to verse 15. "He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Well, there will be times when we pass through the waters. And when we do, there'll be times when we feel exactly like Jeremiah. Our souls are cast down. They're disquieted within us. We feel like we're walking in darkness. Our strength failing, surrounded on all sides with bitterness and woe. You know, within days of our return from Papua New Guinea, we were told that the abscesses in Claire's abdomen were life-threatening and would require that forced surgery. And we poured out our souls like water before the face of the Lord for the life of our daughter. And a few days later, Claire developed double pneumonia. In grief and pain, we cried out like that woman of Canaan, Lord, help our daughter, for she is severely distressed. And a day later, we found out that she had developed acute respiratory distress syndrome and had suffered total respiratory failure. It seemed then that she wouldn't survive. And then I understood a little more of what the psalmist in Psalm 42 says when he said, all your waves and billows have gone over me. Yes, sorrows like sea billows rolled. We might not put into words, but we feel as if the Lord has shut out our prayers. He's made us desolate. Here are the cries of Jeremiah. They were our cries too. He has moved our souls far from peace. It would seem that we're forgotten and forsaken of the Lord. And like Jeremiah, we think, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Until Jeremiah remembers, until we remember, until he remembers the truth of God's word to his people, then what does he say? Then his soul is humbled. Look there. We'll look at this more later. But he says in verse 11, of Lamentations chapter 3, not 11, verse 20. My soul still remembers and is humbled within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And here, listen now. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. His soul is humbled within him. Why? Because he remembers the truth of God's word, the truth of a covenant God, the promises of the Holy One of Israel. And he knows that all that he's thinking is wrong. It's in error. The Lord will never, never leave his people. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And so what does Jeremiah say, therefore, I have hope. I have hope. Well, secondly, tonight, let's just consider that this promise that we have when we pass through the waters, that the Lord will be with us. Turn back there to Isaiah 43. When we pass through the waters, we won't be alone. Now, isn't that a wonderful truth? When you pass through the waters, in verse 2 we read there, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. Who is it that will be with us? Our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. This is something that the Lord teaches us through in His Word. He teaches us through the experiences of life. And He teaches us especially when we pass through the waters. That's the only thing that matters. It's not the circumstances. It's not passing through the waters. What matters is this promise that He will be with us. You know, in Isaiah 49, we know these words, don't we? But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. And what's the answer of the Lord? Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. And they may. They may. A woman may forget her nursing child. Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. What a comfort to us to know this with our daughter Claire. Can Claire be forsaken of the Lord? Can any one of His people? Can we be forgotten of Him? Can a woman forget her nursing child? Yeah. Yes, a woman may forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son she had labored and born. Yes, that's true. Unimaginable as that is, she may forget. But not the Lord. Not the Lord. The Lord will never forget. Why? He Himself has inscribed us on the palms of His hand. How can He forget Claire? There she is, inscribed in the wounds of His hands. You know, Robin and I couldn't be with Claire in the beginning, as I've told you. Even when the Lord worked in such a marvelous way to open the door and enable us to go into the hospital and be with Claire each day in the midst of this virus, we still couldn't be with Claire other than being physically present. She was at that place where she was struggling for life, and she was put in under deep sedation and given a paralysis drug just to so all of her body's energies could be directed toward just surviving. And so she was unconscious of us even being there. She couldn't hear us or speak to us. But the Lord was with her. The Lord was with her by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What a precious promise we have as the Lord's people. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He was with her. The Spirit was with her in that mysterious way that only the Lord has. Comforting her, bearing witness with her spirit that she is a daughter of God. You see, the spiritual realm is wholly different than the physical, isn't it? He'll never leave her or forsake her. He'll never leave you or I or forsake us in any circumstance, in any time, in any place. Christ told His disciples, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. And they don't see Him, do they? But you and I do. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The promise that the Lord would be with his people is so fully, perfectly, completely fulfilled by the indwelling of his Spirit. And with the promise of the Comforter, Jesus tells his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And that's the only peace we find, isn't it? He's the our counselor, our comforter is the only one who gives us peace in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, especially when we pass through the waters, through the waters. "Fear not, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you," is the promise. Turn over to Psalm 139. Keep your place here. Psalm 139. Now, last year, when we were here, I preached a message on Hannah's hope. And in doing that, the Lord directed me to this psalm. And in looking back, I recognize the grace of God to me in that. Not just in that message, but I looked back in this past year of all the things that the Lord was doing to prepare my heart for this time. And one of them was, of course, Samson. And all the word I'd shared with him, all the encouragement that he'd been to me, and another, just of what, some of the many things, was that message that I preached on Hannah's hope. It was a message that the Lord had for me. I just didn't realize it at the time. But this psalm, in preaching on that message of Hannah's hope, the Lord directed me to this psalm. So let's just consider some of the words that we find there. In verse 1, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." The Lord knows his people. He knows Claire, her sitting down and her rising up. He knows of the massive injuries she sustained. He knows of her suffering and her pain. He knows of our fear and our anguish. He knows of the heartache. He knows all of our ways. We poured out our souls in tears and supplication, and there wasn't a word on our tongues that the Lord didn't know it altogether. He himself put those words on our lips. The Spirit of God, this was our experience. I know it's your experience too. The Spirit of God poured out into our minds and into our hearts the words, his words that we'd heard preached, the words that I'd preached, the words that we'd heard. And he put them on our lips, and they overflowed. And these were words that he gave us, words to pray, to entreat him. And in doing that, he comforted us with those very words. How important, just consider this, how important it is for us as the Lord's people to be gathered together, to be hearing his word. The Lord prepares us, not only for this, but for all circumstances of life, in exactly this way. Look at verse 9. "And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Claire was about as far away as anyone could possibly get in this world in a natural sense. The Lord brought Claire down into the depths of deep suffering, even to a place where she was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We could say she'd come right up to the precipice and the ground was crumbling beneath her feet. That's how dire her circumstances were. But she was never alone. She was never alone. Her great shepherd was with her by his Spirit, binding her up, caring for her with an indescribable love, holding her by his right hand, so she too, if she could say it, would have said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He's the good shepherd. He's given his life for Claire, and he'll never leave her. He'll never forsake her. And he'll never leave you and never forsake you as one of his people. Like Jeremiah, we can be in an agony of suffering, an abundance of grief, our souls overwhelmed with anguish and pain. And two, we can find ourselves at times as the Lord's people dwelling emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually in the uttermost parts of the sea, seemingly beyond all help. What does the word say? Even there, your right hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. Look at verse 11. In our soul anguish, we can come to a place of real darkness. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me. Here's the psalmist. And he's at this place like Jeremiah. He's at this place where at times we as the Lord's people can be brought to. And this is a night of sorrow, a night of pain and anguish, bitterness of soul, and this fear and this loneliness encompassing us and pressing down upon us, falling upon us. And we say, surely the darkness shall fall on me. Well, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. You will pass through the waters. You will. But they will not overflow you. This is the promise. You will pass through the fires of affliction, but you shall not be burned. The flame will not scorch you. You see, the Lord makes the bad things in our lives good. Do you hear that? He makes the good good, and he makes the bad good as well. The Lord makes even the darkest circumstances of our lives good for us. Even the darkest circumstances of our lives to shine as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to him. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when there was as yet none of them. And Claire's days and our days were fashioned for us before we were ever formed. Yes, these days of sorrow and anguish, these days of bitterness of soul, these days of affliction and suffering, these are days fashioned for us by the one who loves us. Fashioned by an everlasting love. Not one thing is outside the knowledge, outside the power, outside the providence of the Holy One of Israel. He works all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. All things. All things. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are so wise, so merciful, and so gracious to us. Look at verse 17. It tells us the thoughts that the Lord has towards His people. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Fear not. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. We feel at times like this, that we're surrounded with walls of bitterness and woe, like Jeremiah cries, hedged in so we can't escape. But it's the exact opposite, isn't it? Isaiah 26 tells us, in that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. We can get to a place like Jeremiah where we feel that God has moved our souls far from peace and cry out, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. But when we begin to think aright, like Jeremiah, when we recall to mind the truth of God's promises, and we remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we too come to that place where Jeremiah came, where he said, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They never will. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Isn't that remarkable that the words of that song that we sing would come in Lamentations? Great is thy faithfulness. And we too echo His words. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. Amen.